you sound strong tonight, so we're
I'm a little better. I had a split weekend, but you know, God's still on the throne, and I'm still here, and it's time to get on with the show.
Amen.
You know, this lady's attorney for Riggs Abney, Neal, Turpin, Orbison, Lewis, law firm over at Tulsa, and you know, when she was a child, she learned what she learned about the legal was from Perry Mason. We all remember that from a child's viewpoint. He was like a superhuman, always calm and smart, magical talent. Everyone right on cue at the end of the hour. But, you know, real life's not that way. So when she finally came to the law as an adult, she found no one with actual magic powers or talented commitment and smart, but talented, smart people. She discovered that when the practice of law appeared to be about developing and exerting power over others, it was stressful, unsettling, and unsatisfying. Then Mary found the Neighbor for Neighbor Legal Clinic and what life and the practice of law commit like in pursuit of power for others, the use of special license and skill to law and service. Ladies and gentlemen, a very favorite of mine, a very smart lady, a very talented lady, and a very dedicated lady, Miss Mary Rounds. Mary, thank you for being on the call tonight.
You're very welcome, Ken. That's very sweet. Everyone. I'm really excited to hear all the folks checking in from all across the country. I can't see you. I don't know a lot about you. And so I certainly want to leave some time for questions. So someone pull out the virtual hook, if you would, and make sure that I don't talk too long. I grew up on the South Dakota prairie in the 50s and 60s. You know, sharecropping, outhouses, that kind of thing, with regular folks. And I very much love working with people from all walks of life. Back then, I knew folks who operated small business and farms and made a living that way. I have worked over all the years I've been practicing, and I'm not going to tell you how many that is, with companies and businesses of all different sizes. And there's something that, you all may be more or less interested in talking about the small business owner, that's what I'm thinking about tonight. And I'm very much in favor of individuals and people, you know, being empowered to handle the legal affairs in their own lives as they come up, but this particularly with regard to business people. In a former life, I worked for a very large law firm representing very large corporations in big complex matters. I was not the first chair. I was one of the gophers running around in those teams of lawyers. But over time, I watched how large corporations take advantage of lawyers to assist them in legal compliance and being successful in their businesses. And I'd very much like for every business person to be able to do the same thing. And with, you know, as you all know, because you're very dedicated to making this available to people, this is one of the things that we can do with the small business plan. I'm just thinking tonight a little bit about how major corporations take advantage of lawyers and how I'd really very much like to see the small business owner, your customers, and the people who don't know yet that they're going to be your customers. I'd like to see them be able to have some success by taking advantage of the ability to have access to lawyers. And really, how do large corporations consume legal services? Well, the number one thing that they do is they seek legal advice every step of the way. You're not going to see them taking a leap without first getting advice from their, you know, in-house attorneys or their retained counsel or the law firms that they work with. They pay a steep hourly rate for this, and it's a good business investment. They obviously, you know, pay a lot more than a Legal Shield member does when they pick up the phone and call and ask me for legal advice. I know lawyers charge different things all across the country, business lawyers especially, but it wouldn't be surprising at all for a large company to pay a business lawyer $350 an hour, $400, maybe more on the coasts, to have this legal advice. And those of you who have had to listen to me before know how enamored I am of the consultation benefit. And I think if that was the only thing we had to offer, that would be enough. Because with the consultation benefit, a business of any size can have the same kind of legal service that these large corporations do. What do they talk about? Well, they talk about how to hire people and treat people. They talk about employment laws. They ask questions about, you know, proper way to retain employees, hiring and firing, workers' compensation and unemployment, all those things. What is an independent contractor? What is an employee? The small business owner can do the same thing. What does a large corporation do? They have their documents drafted by and reviewed by lawyers before they enter into agreements. A small business can do the exact same thing with a small business membership. They have document drafting is available at a discount. You know, I don't know of any other place where you can sign up one day and basically the very same day call my firm and we shave 25% off what we charge everybody else for the on our hourly rates. You know what else they do? They have lawyers assisting them with negotiating deals. So they don't walk into a room without some help, without some support and advice. Either the lawyers are doing the negotiating for them or they're backing them up. And a small business member, still and yet, can get legal advice before they negotiate a deal, or they can get an immediate discount on fees if they want some support with that. And then there's the typical litigation, whether you want to prosecute it, you need to sue someone because they're breaching a contract or haven't paid you, or for a myriad of other reasons, or to defend themselves. So there are lots of ways. And I very much like to be able to empower small business owners, from the sole proprietor who's got a, you know, individual plan with a home business supplement to the larger employer with up to 100 employees. Everyone needs to talk about the same kind of legal issues, and the smaller the company, the tougher it is to come up with the money that it takes to pay for the lawyers that you need to talk to make your business succeed. So I know lots of you are out there talking to potential small business members, and I applaud you for doing that. I want to do whatever I can to support you in bringing these small businesses to your providers, because I know all of your providers. I know they are really good people, some of them pretty darn funny and entertaining and fun to be with, and I know how dedicated they are and the good work they do. So I want to encourage everyone to, you know, if you don't already, to really think about approaching folks who operate small businesses and let them know what we can do for them. I'd very much like to answer any questions that might pop up in your mind.
Well, Mary, what exactly is your position in the law firm?
I'm a shareholder at Riggs Abney. And I am the managing partner, and that means that the buck stops here. So I'm responsible for all the work we do for Legal Shield members in Oklahoma.
And that's what I wanted to get out, how very, very important you are. And I know you don't like to tell your age, but I'm going to tell everybody. Mary is 39 years of old, if any of you wondered. 39. So that we got that out of the way, Mary.
Yes, thank you, Ken.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a positive statement there. No, Mary, you don't know how much I, as a person, appreciate you over the years, how helpful you've been, how really personal you are. And I let's go out to Arizona to Mr. Alex Gardner. Alex?
Yeah, thank you so much, Mary, and I really appreciate the topic, because I think it's something that we can do more of, is reaching out to the small business community. I think there's a huge need. And I was wondering if there was any kind of a particular example maybe that was – fresh in your mind about how the small business plan has helped a Legal Shield member?
You know, whenever I get my hands on a small business owner, I kind of run them through the mill. In other words, I start from the basics and make sure that they're operating under an entity if they need one and the right one. Talk a bit about whether or not they're contracting with people rather than hiring hiring people or contracting, and whether they're doing that right. Because, you know, here in Oklahoma, I think you may have seen it where you are as well. Things are going on out there in the business world that might surprise people. One of those things is that more and more, industry by industry, the state authorities, it might be your version of our on a Oklahoma Employment Security Commission, you know, the folks that handle unemployment claims, or it might be your version of the Department of Labor. It might even be the IRS, but industry by industry, they're basically cracking down on the use of independent contractors, where people should be using employees. And, you know, we advise folks on how to make sure they're complying with the law, because there are instances where folks who've been operating exactly as everyone else in their industry has been operating might be the first one. You know, an unfortunate example is the first one in the state of Arkansas to have their industry ruled as operating with employees rather than independent contractors, and it cost those folks a great deal of money to go back and comply with those laws. And that is one small example of something that will catch people unaware. Because folks are operate with integrity, and they try to operate in the same way that others in their industry do, and that may or may not be advisable, and they may not be aware of the legal trends that are coming their way. And, you know, if I see the train coming, I'm going to tell you to get off the tracks.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
How about Mr. David Peterman, another fine example of an executive director?
Well, thank you, Ms. Moore. Ms. Mary Rounds, we certainly appreciate you. You did a great job Saturday over in Tulsa at the Super Saturday. I wanted to, and, you know, we've had this conversation a couple times, but for all those associates maybe all over the country on the Moore team, just talk briefly, if you would, and I appreciate your focus on small business. I was a small business owner for a number of years, but would you encourage people to attend their law firm, their provider law firm's open house, and kind of give them an idea if they haven't been, because they have a lot of new associates on here as well. If they haven't been to an open house, why should they come? I mean, kind of fill us in there and enlighten some of these people.
Sure. Thanks, David. Well, for one thing, you all know, because you all are clients of provider law firms, that if you have a legal matter, you pick up the phone and call. As a Legal Shield associate, you get a special invitation to come on down to the office, shake their hand, and you might even get a sandwich out of the deal. This is an opportunity to see, you know, where all of this happens, to meet some of the lawyers, to meet some of the staff. I mean, we have our open houses at 5:30, alternating 5:30 and noon, so that folks who work full time can come to a 5:30 event in the evening and learn some things from us, have a one-on-one conversation or an 8-on-1 conversation. We also have them at noon so folks can meet. Some of the folks who answer the phone and the staff that take care of them. The staff really likes to meet their clients, and I'm hoping that that's a good experience for the folks who do come here. You know, it's intimidating talking to lawyers. Most folks don't want to do it, and when you come down to my office, you'll see we're just folks, and you know, we like the same things, and we have conversations. It's really good to be able to interact face-to-face. Also, I like to have open houses for new associates so that new associates can ask questions directly of us, because a lot of times folks aren't sure really if it's okay to ask questions or how you might get that done. Anyway, I know that all the providers have an open house. If you haven't been to one, do what you can to get in and meet your lawyers. They want to meet you, and I think you'll be glad that you did that.
And Mary, it can help build confidence in the system that we offer. Would you agree with that? As people come in, especially new associates come in and meet the law firm, the people that are taking care of the clients that we help to bring in, it helped build that belief system, wouldn't you say?
I do. I think it starts with comfort, and then when there is some comfort, then folks will call and talk. Folks will ask questions. When they ask questions, they'll get an answer. Then it's especially, I think, important to bring a newer associate with you.
Absolutely.
David, yeah, I think that's really important. I just think there's no this phone call is awesome, but I'd really like to meet y'all. There's no substitute for me being able to sit down across the table from someone and have a conversation. And that's what we do at our open houses. We do explain things, and it's the light bulb goes on, things clear up for people. They feel more comfortable using it. They feel more comfortable offering it to other folks. And I think folks also enjoy bringing in new people to meet the lawyers. So do that
Absolutely.
As soon as we can. Yeah.
We certainly appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. Moore.
You know, Mary, I know there are a lot of people that I've had to go, they just come back and say, well, those are just real people. I said, yeah, they're really real people, all right. But like you said, they're intimidated, but once they come there, they feel at ease. They go back out there. They know they're selling a good product. They're very proud to do it. But they go back out there, like David said, with more confidence in the system because now they feel more part of the system. So I think it's really great that you guys have those open houses. Now, let's see. Is Mr. Damon Sheber on? I don't know if I heard him on tonight or not. How about Mr. Jimmy Parrish?
Do not see him on there, sir.
You don't see Jimmy or Damian?
That is correct, sir.
Is Mr. Hester in speaker mode? Well, I'm ringing up a zero on it. Well, I know one person's in a speaker mode and one of the best there is in the business. Almost 28 years ago, he started with a company, and he's Mr. Persistency himself, Mr. Harold Pinson. Harold, I have a question for Ms. Rounds.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Harold.
Okay, well thanks for being on tonight, Mary. My question is, for those who may out there may not know, what's the average number of intakes do you guys get per month on Legal Shield members, and what area of law do you see the most usage for membership in?
Ah, good question. So it varies a little bit here in Oklahoma. We're probably seeing a couple thousand a month. My friends, our colleagues in Colorado see a much higher volume than that. Folks call in about collection matters, issues involving creditors. Folks call in about foreclosures. Folks call in about landlord-tenant issues. We get calls from tenants, but we get lots of calls also from folks who own property, small business owners. We get a lot of calls having to do with anything having to do with estate planning. And I figure if you have a membership and you're breathing, you can call us about planning your estate because everyone has one. So that should be the first call everyone makes, and a lot of people do. So they ask questions. Of course, they want to get their will done, but they ask questions about what a power of attorney is, what a trust is, what they need and don't need, and we welcome those calls. We get a lot of calls about family issues near and dear, child custody and divorce and adoption and guardianship and those kinds of things. We get calls about bankruptcy. We hate to see those, but we're here to help people when that's a need.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yes, sir.
How about let's go back out to Arizona to Miss Linda Bowden.
Hi, what a terrific call. I just love your insights. And I'm just kind of curious. You know, you had talked a little bit about the small business and, you know, what I never really realized until I was around Legal Shield is how much small businesses are just the backbone of our country.
Yes.
They really, really are, and they really, really need us. And what are some other things that you could say based on your experiences? Like, the whole idea of that law, I have never heard of that before, about the independent contractor, so that's pretty fascinating, and I'm wondering how many people don't even know about that yet. What other things do you see or have you witnessed coming down the pike for small business owners?
I think, first off, small business owners really don't have time to worry about things like whether it's an LLC and what that is. So I think it's important for folks to protect themselves as much as possible by having some help with getting an entity formed and figuring out how to operate it as simply and efficiently as possible so that it serves its intended purpose. So, number one, small business owners want to be protecting their personal financial affairs and separating them from their business affairs. People don't generally know to ask questions about should I be a sole proprietor, or should I operate in a partnership, or should I form something? So that's where I like to start because you can do a lot of work, but you don't want to expose your family finances when you're taking a business risk, because we all know that starting a business is a risk. So I would start there, and then of course some of the employment issues that I talked about, but having good contracts to use with your customers as a business person. So, we really hate to get those calls after something falls apart, and something that could have been easily solved by having a very simple, straightforward written contract. We can review whatever is sent in. As you know, that's no additional charge. For a discounted fee, we can draft something, and I think it's well worth it to have that in place. So there are other things, too, that we can discuss. There are issues of, following safety regulations. There are anti-discrimination rules. It's just as complicated to run a business that pulls in 100,000 gross a year as 100 million gross. Just as complicated, and we don't want to make it as expensive. Does that help?
Oh, that's fabulous. And just one more thing, an extension of that. Just talk just a little bit about the power of the letter. I have had business owners who have had Legal Shield send out letters on their business's behalf, and the results were just stunning. So just maybe talk just a tad about writing letters for small businesses.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. In any instance where it can be of assistance, and there are many of those when operating a business, we're always happy to do that. I know there's some kind of an effect when something comes on a law firm letterhead, but I've been practicing long enough to know that it's not a true magic effect. Wouldn't get through Hogwarts. Wouldn't graduate there. However, we have a great advantage in working through these things. One, we have an advantage in understanding the law. We have an advantage in some of us having negotiated things over the years and having a sense for, over time, you know what people are likely to do. So we have the advantage of being a few steps back from the issue so that we can see it from a broader perspective, and we can craft something that is going to be the, as best we can, the most effective approach we can. Just because it's business doesn't mean that there's no emotion involved in the situation. So I think with regard to the power of written communication or of letters, I think it's, knowledge of the law, of course, is really important, but I think an overall understanding from working in the legal world of human emotion, business thinking, and negotiation is probably a more powerful aspect of being able to write letters for the
small business member. And also we can write more straightforward collection type letters that let someone know that is very serious about compliance with their contracts and know that in the event that it is necessary that the business owners has a relationship with a law firm that can help them to follow up if there's no result.
That's fantastic. And I'll tell you, just a short one, and this was just one of those classic moments, at least in Legal Shield in my career, but one of my friends that I've been friendly with for about 25 years owns a pretty upstanding business in his community. And a homeless man was picketing outside of the business next door. And he did this for days on end, and it was really affecting my friend's business. So my friend called up Legal Shield, and Legal Shield wrote a letter on the business's behalf to the homeless man, and they sent it to my friend, and my friend literally walked outside with the letter from the law firm and handed it to the man, the homeless man who was picketing. He said he was living in a van down the street, handed the letter to the man who was picketing, and the man went away. It was just so wild that who's ever heard of that before?
I know. I think I'd remember if I had written that.
This was actually in Arizona, and it was just a classic. My friend, he just got the biggest laugh. He says, "You won't even believe what Legal Shield did for me." And he told me the story, and about died. I thought, I've never heard of that before, but that's the classic. So thank you very much for all of your input. Very much.
Thanks, Linda. I like to hear stories like that because, you know, there are times when we know that a thing is not right. We also know that there's some likelihood that if our client pressed it in court, they may not walk away successful. But there are times, there are many times in my practice when I've looked at something that just wasn't right and decided I wanted to write a do the right thing letter. And so sometimes those will have a stronger effect than the instances where we have a clear legal right to demand a clear thing. So that's just one of the things that sometimes we can do when it's wrong. And, you know, very often people will do the right thing.
Is that it, Linda?
That's it. I appreciate that, Mary. And it would make a tremendous comedy scene in a movie, the way it was described to me and the results.
Yes.
It was just a classic.
Yes.
Mary, our time's getting short, but I'd like to tell a short story. You know, this is my 34th year with the company, and I've seen a lot of things in that time. Maybe 25, 26 years ago, I wanted to buy a house on the contract. They called it contract to deed those days. I don't know what to call it now. But I would pay so much a month on it. At the end of 5 years, I'd pay it off. It was mine, or if I missed a payment, well, it reverted back to the original owner. I guess you know what I'm talking about. The lady had the contract come over to my house, and we sat, and, you know, I almost, Mark in prepaid, and I almost sat there and signed that I thought, oh, no, I can't tell people not to do this every day. And I faxed it into the law firm. In just a few minutes, they called me back, and they said, Ken, this is a legal binding document. I said, great. And they said, no, it's not really great. You have not one day of grace period here. If you miss one day, you paid only 4 years, all they have to do is take the property back. Well, I trusted the lady, but I didn't know if the lady might die and her children take over. So the law firm put her on speaker. They told the lady, and she gave me 90-day grace period. I said, I don't need it. But she said, no, I want to say that she's a very nice lady. And, of course, I paid it off in 18 months. But I was just wondering, what if I'd have signed that? The lady died the next day and her children took it over. No telling what would have happened. So I've always been grateful, and from then on I've told people, don't do like I almost did. When you got a contract, let the attorneys review it first before you sign it.
That's right, that's right. And, you know, Ken, that's a great story because folks are good and they think other people are going to treat them in the same manner, and we trust each other. So, you know, it's your job to trust your friends and the people you do business with. It's my job as your lawyer not to trust anybody.
That's good. Well, Mary, we appreciate you so very, very much. You are one more outstanding lady, and I want everybody to know that I appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on the call tonight.
Thank you, Ken. It was a pleasure.
And I want to thank everyone else that participated. Thank you, Doc, for doing what you did. And, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time one more time. So let's do what we always do. God first, family second, Legal Shield third, 110%. I appreciate every single one of you. God's blessing be on you, and good night.